friends, our two very short scripture readings this morning have everything to do with us as the people of God. The first reading comes from the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Philippians, chapter 1, first 5 verses. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. And then the second from a different angle in 1 Peter, taking us much deeper than just this greeting of Paul and Timothy. 1 Peter 2 verses 9 and 10. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Here ends our scripture readings. May you and I understand if God has a message for us this very day. Brothers and sisters, yesterday and the day before, the United Church of Christ held its annual Florida conference in St. Pete Beach. Ministers and representatives came from near and far to participate, to reconnect with one another, to plan, to discuss, and to celebrate the many aspects of our combined ministry. Now, I must admit that for me, unexpectedly, it was also a sharp reminder that time is passing. Just after arriving there, I ran into a couple whom I did not recognize before they reminded me that I conducted their wedding some time ago. And looking at them and hearing their names, I suddenly remembered. And I said, well, I hope the two of you are still very happy together. And so they said, yes, we just celebrated our 18th anniversary. And then I realized, wow, time has passed indeed. The beautiful young bride of then has continued her studies. And proudly she told me she is now also an ordained minister of the United Church of Christ. There were ministers and representatives of all 8 the previous Florida churches that I had the privilege to serve since 1989. How good it is to run into an old and very dear friend, to be reminded of precious relationships of the past, and even to sense and share the pain, as it happened on Friday. Where is your dear wife, Fred? We buried her 8 weeks ago. How time passes. And once again, in a small little way, I experienced the deep sense of love and gratitude that the Apostle Paul must have felt when he wrote to the Philippians, as we just heard, "I thank my God every time I remember you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now." Amongst the many that I had the privilege to see again were those whom I could personally call partners in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The sharing of the gospel is a rich and rewarding journey of love, of friendship, and becoming part of people's lives during their joyous times of celebration, but also being with them in moments of pain, of illness, of death, and the trials and tribulations of life. That is what and who we all are. Here today, this very morning, in this beloved sanctuary of ours, gathered in worship and communion, also as, and to use Paul's terminology, partners in the gospel. Yes, we have become partners. You've called me to stand here, to be faithful, and God has called all of you to be here and to be faithful. As we, as partners in the gospel, plan, dedicate our lives and ourselves to be the people of God in this neighborhood, to be what God wants us to be, to think, to work, to love, to pray. Now, it became much clearer in the second reading, where Peter explained, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." And then wrote Peter, "Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So here we are, 2,000 years later. It is a different era. It's a different time. It's a different place. Here we are, like Paul, like Peter and Timothy, you and I, because we can share one thing with them. Because there is something that we have in common with them. We were also called out of darkness into His marvelous light. And that's why through the ages, we are still calling ourselves God's family, the family of God. And once again, as we get ready this morning to receive the tokens of God's love and forgiveness, it might be a good moment, a good opportunity to remember, to think back, and to think into the future. What family is all about? Well, sometimes it goes with our younger generation a little like this. A certain teenager talked about his family, and he was talking to another teenager saying, "You know, I'm really worried about my mom and dad. My dad slaves away at his job so that I will never want for anything and so that I can go to college. My mom spends every day washing and ironing and cleaning up after me, and she takes care of me every time when I'm sick. Well, said his friend, then what are you worried about? Oh, you see, I'm afraid they might try to escape. The Bible tells us who we are. Once you were not the people, but now you are God's people. When you and I made a decision, when we decided to follow Christ, we became family of many, many others, not only here, but across the world. And that's who we proudly are to this day, God's people. Now, if we go back in history in the Bible, Abram's people always knew exactly who they were, in spite of the fact that they existed as wanderers, not simply because Abraham was their father, but because they felt a real connection with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that is what gave them their identity. And it still does today, wherever the children of Abraham may roam. And we as Christians have come to proudly also claim our spiritual heritage. And we say to the world that the God of Jesus Christ is also our God. That's who we are. We are God's people, God's family, God's children. What does it mean to be a family? Not only God's family, but also be part of a human family. It's not always easy to live in a human family. There are many of us who would proudly introduce you to most of our family, but sometimes we just skip one or two over. Like, well, let me rather tell you about this one and not that one. And it's particularly difficult to be a parent just when you think they'll never grow up. They finally do. And thank God, just when you think they'll never return to church, most of them do. So go on. Sow the good seed, dear parents, dear grandparents. Don't lose your faith. Don't lose your hope for your children and their children. One day, they may realize that they are indeed the family of God, and that you led them in that direction when you still could. Talking about the human family, some time ago, Jacob Smirnoff wrote about that. He said, well, with me coming from the Soviet Union, I was really not prepared for America, for the incredible variety of products available in American grocery stores. Then he said, while on my first shopping trip, you know what, I saw powdered milk you Americans made. You just add water and you get milk. He said, and then I saw even powdered orange juice. You just add water and you get orange juice. And then I saw baby powder. And I thought to myself, what a country. Sorry, Jacob. It's not that easy. It's not that easy to bear children. And it is not that easy to raise them. But there's also another side to the story. Friends, it is not easy being a child in our time either. Or to be young, to be a student. It can be frightful, as it was just a few weeks ago in Virginia Tech. Our children, our young generation, are living in a difficult world where they often have to face difficult problems, and most of their choices they have to make much earlier than we did when we were young. Do you know that only 40 years ago, the top three disciplinary problems in school were listed in a survey as then talking too much in class, chewing gum, and running in the halls? That list has changed. Another survey, now it is the fear of being raped, the possibility of a robbery, and the danger of assault are the three things on top of the list in this survey. The five greatest fears of primary school children only 30 years ago were vicious animals, dark rooms, strangers, high places and loud voices. A recent survey that my parents might get divorced. The danger of a nuclear war, developing lung cancer, being mugged, and being the victim of a terrorist. How things have changed in a few short decades. It's not easy living in a family today, and yet in a culture such as ours, the family is more important than ever before. And not only our home family, but also our church family. What is so important about being able to say, that's my family, I am part of a family? Oh yes, I sensed it the past few days. Couldn't even remember all the names, but yes, we are family. Yes, we have journeyed for 20 years together. Yes, we have laughed and we have cried and we have wept together. I remember. We are still part of the family. You're there, I'm here, but our family has not changed. It's from the family that we still take our basic values. And it's this my prayer that you and I, when we go from here on a today like today, that we can carry with us into our homes, into the lives of our friends and others around us, the basic values being reminded of today. And more so, it is the family that gives us our basic support when we go out into the world. Oh, that's when we get to know our people the best. When they suffer, when they are weeping, that's when we get to really understand and know and love one another. It is the family that lets us know, even in the darkest night, that we are loved, that we matter, that people are praying for us. And Jesus wants us to know that God is like a loving parent. It is within the family of God that we also get our values. It's within the family of God that we draw our support when we venture out into the world. It's in God's family that should be the ultimate place where we can turn to in times of need. And when we are desperately alone and in need of understanding and care and love. Once we were no people, but now we are God's people. That's who we are. Look around you. And also then look up and see this table. And when you get to know and understand the significance of this table, you want to say, my, I am part of the best family in town, part of the best family in the world. Because there's a story here. We do not do it because it's the first Sunday of the month. We've been doing it since the day that we realize who we are, and especially who our Savior is. I heard a story that's about the same. It has to do with the little girl that noticed that her mother had scarred hands, really ugly hands. And when the kid was small, she didn't say much. But one day, she spoke out loud and she said, Mommy, you know, you have horrible, ugly hands, as children can be honest sometimes. But then Dad, sitting in his chair, responded. He said, Darling, let me tell you, when you were a baby, your cradle caught fire. And Mom came just in time and she pulled you out of the fire. And that's where her hands got scarred and ugly. And the kid, as children are, quick to understand, said, Oh, Mother, you have the most beautiful hands I've ever seen. Isn't that the story of our faith? Hasn't it got something to do with scarred hands? When we hear once again today, this is my body. This is my blood. As I have loved you, go out and be a family, be it in my name. And the table will keep reminding you of a love that will never, never let you go. Amen.